Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, I feel like we've done this a fair bit on the radio show. We talked about, you know, what do you find in your food? Not uncommon to find a bug in your salad.
I mean, I've never eaten a salad, full stop.
Sure.
But then I've never also had a bug in any of my foods.
I found a gecko in my coffee once. That's just not bad times.
Not ideal.
There was a family, the Razzie family, were trying to make a lovely minestrone on the weekend.
That's a soup, right?
It is, yeah. And they were trying to get their, oh, I can never say these beans. Cannellini? Is that?
The Catalina wine mixer.
I'm getting no nods in the room.
No, you're nailing it.
Beans. They opened a can of beans, right? Direct quote. I was looking in the can of beans. Found a lizard, a baby lizard in there.
In the can.
My mum was crying. My sister was screaming.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it's pretty bad, Tim.
How big's the lizard?
The
lizard. What are we talking about?
Look, I mean, it's still just a can of beans.
Oh, it's dead. Sorry, I assumed it was alive.
Why would it be alive?
Of course it's dead. It's been in a can.
It looks like it's been boiled. Like it's shriveled up. I don't know what they do to cannellini beans. Is it cannellini?
I don't know what can.
I don't know.
Beans.
Look, I don't know how they've probably tinned it, and apparently the product's from Italy, so it's travelled all the way over with this baby lizard in it.
Yeah.
Not the ideal.
No.
You're not getting any beans in your minestrone now.
As a mama always said, oh, shit, that there's a lizard in the can of beans, you know?
That's true.
No. I've never found a lizard in my can of anything. The most thing that I'm uncanning is diced tomatoes.
Yeah, but see, I never look at it when I open it. I just rip the tin open and dump it straight in. So how many lizards?
Ramsay, we get it. You're good in the kitchen.
How many lizards have I eaten? Is what I'm questioning.
Probably none. I feel like
I hope
the size of that lizard. Again, well, we might.
The company says that it's committed to a full and proper investigation. They've never seen anything like this before. But yeah, apparently a lady in South Australia last year claimed that she found remains of a rat in a can of red kidney beans. So cans are just...
Crikey.
Yeah. Stay out of my cans.
I mean, see, I'm not upset about it being in a can.
Right.
Because you go, obviously somewhere in the manufacturing line, Something's happened before the can's been sealed. However, they do it.
They're not slipping in there. It's not like the golden ticket at Willy Wonka's factory.
So clearly it's been in there. And in my brain, if it's in a can, it's sterile. So yes, there's
You'd
a
lizard. You'd eat it. Would you still eat it?
No. This is
Pick the lizard out, love. We're still having minestrone tonight.
That lizard in the can is cleaner than a lizard out of a can in my brain. Because I'm like, you can't. Like, it's a non-perishable.
See, I remember
it's
you.
It's non-perishable.
This is what you said to me when I drank the gecko. You said you boiled him at least. So
100% because you put it in the kettle. The lizard was in the kettle.
I still drank gecko coffee, Tim. That's what I drank.
No, you drank coffee with gecko because the juices of the gecko.
I can still feel it hitting my mouth at the end of the cup.
Were more like you'd boiled it out of it. That's why you'd literally had hit boiling temperature. It was actually probably the best way to consume it. You didn't eat
protein.
It.
Protein.
You found it at the bottom of your mug.
Yeah.
So it never touched your lips. You saw it floating.
No, I felt it. I felt it touch the bottom of my lips as I went to take a sip. The last sip as well. I drank the whole coffee before I realized.
I'm just trying to keep it positive. You just seem to really be harping on the, I almost ate a lizard, Tim. I don't think it's healthy for you.
52232955. What did you find in your food?
Ebony from Leopold's given us a call. Now, Ebony, this isn't you. This is a story of your mum's. Now, don't say the name of the fast food chain, but what happened to your mum? What did she find in her food?
So mum was driving home and decided to pull through the drive-through for an ice cream. And as she's she's pulled away and she's licking it, and she's like, oh, what's this hard thing in it?
Oh, tell me it's a flake.
Turn the light on.
Tell me it's a flake, no. Ebony. Oh, God.
No, it's before they did flakes in them. It was a great big huntsman.
Oh, no.
Even at the age of 34, I still check myself before.
Just poke it with your finger.
And I'm pretty sure it was before before I was around.
Wow.
But mum said she emptied up a week's worth of her stomach.
Oh yeah, God. I've never ever heard of like a spider in an ice cream.
No, well, cause that thing would have had to have crawled into the machine. And now then it's come out of the thing.
Well, Mum reckons it was might have been like on her door frame or something because it was alive and it was looking at her like, what are you doing?
I got a second.
It's propped out, like when she's reached out of her car window to get it from the drive thru, it's maybe fallen on then.
Yeah.
So she lick a huntsman?
Yeah. And he's looking at her like, what are you doing? And I'm like shaking when Mum's telling me this story. I don't think she's ever been back for another one, to be honest.
Oh, my God. Enough.
I had the texture of licking a huntsman. I know that they can't hurt you, but yeah. Ebony, isn't that interesting? You weren't around for it, but the generational trauma is still passed down anyway. Lucky you, hey?
Yeah, she told me, but yeah, I can't. I've got to check it first.
Yeah. All right, check your ice creams for spiders. Didn't think we'd ever have to say that. Thanks, Ebony. What a public service announcement.
I think I might cry.
I can feel it on my tongue.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, there's a bit of a tradition us WOGs have. It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, Greek, Macedonian, you know, Turkish.
Italian.
Italian. Everyone has their own kind of version of like a really like thick, strong coffee, okay. Right? You know, for us Masos, we drink the Turkish coffee. And when you finish with your coffee, you flip your cup upside down and you let all the sludge fall to the bottom.
Can I ask a quick, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I feel like you're holding back. If you want to, like, because I know you like to add your accent, your Macedonian accent. If you want to just, like, commit now instead of when you say drop like when the D, the next time you say D, we'll hear it. Feel free to just, like, rip
I'm
it
trying,
now. I don't want
I'm
you
trying
to
not dip into it too much.
But, I don't, like, that's you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel like you can't be yourself.
So when you turn this the coffee cup over.
Yeah. Sorry, can I too?
Yeah.
I know I'm not, but it's fun. It sounds fun. No, sorry, I'll stop.
When you turn the coffee cup over, you wait for a few minutes and then you can flip the coffee over. And usually you've got like one auntie or like your bubba.
Is this you read the...
That can read the cup. Wow. They basically tell you your fortune, right?
Okay.
So like in the lead up to my wedding, it was Christmas time. We were all having Turkish coffee at Christmas lunch. My auntie, my Vunan, picks up the cup and she goes, "Oh, I see a big table. It's a big celebration coming." I'm like, "Yeah, I just gave you my wedding invitation."
Jeez. Yeah.
She's psychic.
How do you figure it out? It's the magic.
So it's like a little bit of fun. Everyone gets their cup read. It's you know, a good time. I'll bring some coffee in tomorrow. We can do it.
There's the accent just came in just then. Just snuck in.
We could do it.
Yeah, we could do it.
A Greek woman has taken this method potentially a little bit too seriously, right? So she's been married for 12 years to her husband. They've got two kids together. And her husband were having a Greek coffee and they decided to read their cups. But she was like, "You know what? I'm going to take it one step further. I'll get ChatGPT to interpret our cups."
Why?
So she took a photo of both the cups and she put it through ChatGPT. And ChatGPT allegedly saw signs of infidelity. Said her husband was supposedly fantasizing about a woman whose name began with E, and this woman was trying to destroy their family.
Okay. Oh, no.
So, you know, as most normal people do when they read something on ChatGPT,
you immediately blame the closest human being you can find.
She asked her husband to leave and told the kids they were divorcing. 3 days later, she served him with divorce papers.
So, wait, this hasn't been confirmed?
No. She was like, "ChatGPT told me you're cheating on me and a woman starting with E is going to ruin our lives, so get out of my house."
That's the next level.
Right.
Because isn't the whole thing with the, like, reading the tea, it's like someone, like you always, like you said, like you've won. I don't know if I said it right.
Yeah,
there. It's like, she can do it. She can do it. And then she goes, like, obviously
my Vuna Ann's the best because she puts a bit of like extra spice,
a bit
on
of
it.
Flair. Like,
yeah.
So you find someone and they're probably, they want to, maybe they know a little bit about you.
I made my friends a Turkish coffee on the weekend because we all hung out and I read my friend Annie's cup and I was like, "Ooh, a horseshoe. You're going to get lucky later."
Oh, so you're just like having a bit of fun.
I just make stuff up. So does ChatGPT.
What you should have done is said, "Your husband back in Port Stephens is cheating on you." Maybe this is what Coldplay should do instead of fan cam.
Right.
Because this is actually no, because it still leads to divorce. Okay.
Either way.
Reworkshop.
So apparently the husband's lawyer said that AI generated interpretation holds no legal weight.
Could we?
And her husband remains innocent until proven otherwise.
Now, I'm not familiar again with the Turkish coffee and the Macedonian culture really beyond service level. If someone called up tomorrow, could we technically read their tea, even though they haven't drunk it? Could I drink it on someone's behalf?
Well, if people send us a picture of their tea, this is the thing. You've got to be the one who drinks it.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
How about,
I think you take a drink of the coffee and then I'll read your cup.
Can I read yours?
Yeah.
I'd like to just like
decide it.
Have a go. Oh, you're a Power Ranger.
Well, there's different pictures that apparently mean different things. Right. I don't know. I just make it up. But my Vunan seems to be really good at it.
All right. Well, how about we get some and we send photos to your Vunan and we
We use ChatGPT. Clearly, ChatGPT knows what's going on.
We don't need a Vunan anymore. You know?
Vunan.
We said the same thing. Jess
and Tim. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Jess, I have requested that Ava sticks around. Mm-hmm. She's done so that's absolutely huge news for us. Thank you very much, Ava.
Thank you for having me.
We are three human beings. We all live individual lives. We all live in different areas of Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine. So I think we're a good radar.
Good sample.
Of seeing things out in the wild, especially some people might have no idea what we're about to talk about. I want to talk to you again about labubus.
Oh, yes.
Talk to me about what they are again, Jess.
So
talk to us all.
They're like these little, I would say toys.
Collectible doll toy things.
They're like stuffed, aren't they? They're kind of like a stuffed animal thing.
And they're on a keychain. And they're ridiculously expensive.
Yep.
And they're very limited edition. So
there's like different designs. You buy a box, you don't know what's in it. And then there's fake ones called lafufus.
Yeah.
And some people are spending labubu money and receiving a lafufu.
Which is what you don't want to do.
They are not happy.
But you also can't pick which labubu you get because you get blind boxes.
Yeah. So what I haven't seen, though, in the real world is anybody, because apparently there are people who clip them onto their bags, they clip them onto their clothing, they do all these things. And I was like, man, I've seen this in the news a lot. I know it's probably an American thing. I've heard it happening a lot in the cities.
Yeah.
In Melbourne and Geelong. Melbourne and Sydney, sorry. I was like, maybe little old Geelong isn't, you know, they haven't gone labubu
crazy. Well, I don't know if there's anywhere to buy labubus here locally. Is there, Ava?
I've seen labubus, but I'm not a labubu expert, so I can't confirm if that packaging is labubu or lafufu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw this morning when I was riding my bike, driving my son off to daycare, I saw a couple of school kids and they both had three labubus on their bags.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned this, Tim. When I was walking through Westfield just this afternoon, I was walking behind somebody who had about three or four labubus hanging off her handbag.
Interesting.
But I will say, like, I feel like there's sort of a bit of a statusy thing where people try to have them quite clean. I would say these ones looked a bit grubby.
Right. Wow. Well, see, there's a new trend to, like, personalise your labubu. So, like,
can't you get them tattoos and stuff?
I know we were talking a little bit about Facebook Marketplace earlier. There was a lady on Facebook Marketplace here in Geelong who's advertising that she can paint your labubu for you. So you pay her and she will customise it to your liking.
It's kind of dope.
Mm.
There's this one woman I love on TikTok and she is just rage baiting people and holding up like bedazzled labubus and she goes like, I am the owner of the world's only sapphire labubu. And she does it with like all these different colours and gemstones and people
I love that
fall
this is,
for it.
This is Ava's corner of TikTok.
Interesting. Interesting. You and Jess are very similar. I want to go back to all of our school days and if you're listening, think about it. What was the labubu of your time where people would bring them
well,
to school?
Definitely Beanie Kids when I was at primary school.
See, I don't remember people bringing them to school.
Ours got banned at school because like people would bring their Beanie Kids and it would be so like it would fill your desk with Beanie Kids to the point where the teachers would be like, no more Beanie Kids at school because you need space to put your work.
Well, you went to school a little bit closer to the city. Maybe that was a city slicker thing.
Like maybe.
We had the post office. So we didn't have... No, that was the thing open in town, so you couldn't buy Beanie Kids. But Pokemon cards, but again, you wouldn't show them off as a display.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I would hang. Oh, what were those things called? Ava, you probably know this is probably more your demo than like my demo. I remember making these with my sister. Those things that you'd plait. What were they called?
I can't think of it, but it's reminded me of Loom Bands. Loom Bands were big for my age. Yeah, like
they
age
were
group.
Like
Jimmy's or something. No, Giblets.
Giblets.
No, but I know what you're
thinking. Someone's yelling
of.
At the radio right now.
These
plastic,
three doofuses.
Flattered. Toy. No, nothing's coming up.
Oh, we talked. Shock. We so talked niche. About them a few weeks or months ago that they were coming
what were they
back
called?
In trend. Not Jimmy's.
No, Jimmy.
They were rubber, weren't they?
Yeah, but
I was thinking of something.
They were
else.
Like strings
no,
that you
no,
plait.
They're not rubber.
I'm thinking of just like those braided bracelets people used
yeah,
to make.
Yeah, yeah, those
yeah.
Yeah,
but they were Giblets. They were like threaded.
That's all right. Look, we'll come up with the word 5223295. You know what we're talking about, because yeah,
please help.
And they would like you would fray them at the end, right? Just listen to me when I'm speaking to you.
Fray
I know
them at the
like
end.
They researching.
Would, they would like they would be like frayed at the end, like all the rubber dinglets.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Ava.
Rubber dinglets.
All right. Hello. Marley and Marshall, help. What are they called?
They're called Scoobies.
Scoobies! Oh, Marley. Thank you.
I was the one yelling at the radio, yelling Scoobies.
You're hearing Tim call them Giblets.
Or Jimmy's.
Yeah, I do know you call them Giblets.
Okay, so Marley, just quickly.
Scoobies were a hit.
They would, so Scoobies, you would like plait them together, essentially?
Yeah, you would plait them and make different patterns, and then you could make them into jewellery or you could make them into key rings and you would put them all over your bags.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Oh. They were the boo-boos.
Of
I've never heard of Scoobies.
Oh. You would have heard of Scoobies.
You'd know a Scooby if you look at it. Google a Scooby if you can. Marley.
I don't think that's what will come up.
Yeah, fair enough. Marley from Marshall, thank you.
You've saved our lives.
You saved us. All right. So apologies for... And to everyone else.
That may
so,
be the dumbest
so.
We've ever sounded on radio. I'm we've like, sounded pretty dumb.
I'm like proper hot yeah. from getting worked up trying to figure out what that was.
I loved watching you both hear the answer. The relief that washed
oh,
over you.
Mate, it was freeing. Okay.
I'll that's show how, you where Scooby in the next
that's
song.
That's how when you. Free Willy jumped that wall, that's how I imagine he felt. Oh.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
The French are joining the space race.
Just not something I thought...
Thank you for that.
You would ever say. So, okay, sacré bleu.
Yeah.
Why are the French joining the space race?
So, essentially, they've got this, like, startup company called Hyperspace, and they are aiming to have a suborbital flight.
Okay.
Their target is 2026, and then they want to have an orbital launch around 2027, 2028. So, they've put, like, a lot of money, like, they've gotten some money from the French government as well into this startup, and everyone in France is very excited about this and jumping on board. They're very keen to get this happening. It's coming out of Bordeaux. And
oh,
they
nice.
They wanted to have a bit of a... like a French flair to the name. Okay. So they've called this suborbital launcher Orbital Baguette One.
No, they did. It doesn't look like a baguette in the sky, Jess. It doesn't. Don't come on to this show and tell me France is entering the space race with a rocket shaped like a baguette.
I don't think it looks like
who is
a baguette.
Piloting it? Macron? The president?
I don't think it
help
looks
me.
Like a baguette.
Help
but
me.
They wanted to call the ship Obi-Wan. So it's Orbital Baguette One is the...
That's a Star Wars joke too.
Yeah.
Why? The French have no connection.
The French are fun, turns out.
Normally when you're getting into space, the billion-dollar industry that is the space market.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like, oh, it's a bit of a gag. We'll make it the same shape as a baguette. We'll send it into the sky. And we will be astronauts. And everybody will say the French cannot win the space race. We're 50 to 70 years too late. But we are here and we have our hats on.
I never said it was a baguette-shaped rocket.
I assumed. Do you know what they will say when a French man or woman lands on the moon, Jess?
Tell me.
They will say, on passe pour l'homme, on passe the jeune pour le humain.
What did you just say to me?
They will say, I'll say it again.
Un pas pour l'homme, un pas de géant pour l'humanité.
Which also loosely translates to one step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah. The testing is backed by 35 million euros of state funding through France's France 2030 initiative. And basically they're looking at like different forms of propellants, including recycled plastics. Right. They're gonna send this rocket, this baguette into space with recycled plastics.
Shit. Why? Okay. After the Olympics, they went nuffy. They went full. They went full weird.
The first suborbital test of Baguette One.
When the mayor of Paris jumped in the Seine River to prove it was safe to swim in for the Olympics, they came out and they were like, "Now we must go to space." They caught something in the river. Oh no!
It is planned for 2026 from a French military base in mainland France, marking a historic first for a launch from continental Europe. So this is huge. It's groundbreaking stuff, and they've named it Orbital Baguette One.
Oh, I needed that. I needed that. I think we all needed that. Well, best of luck to the Frenchies. I actually was so lost in everything you said. I don't know what their goal is. So go get it.
They want to do a suborbital flight first. Yep. I like Katy Perry.
Okay.
And then they want to do a proper lap.
Out of space.
Yeah.
Proper lap of the... Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Good on them.
Good luck. More updates on this. Immediately invested.
I'll keep you posted.
Thank you very much. Get rocking then the fifth. I can't remember how to say 9555. All right. This is Tim and Jess. Wheels are starting to fall off the wagon, so let's try and get it back on track. But I realise what I'm about to talk about might not help.
Oh, excellent.
So, love going up and down the Great Ocean Road. In particular, where my son's struggling to sleep and he wakes up at 3:20 in the morning and he's like, "Dad, let's play outside." And I go, "Nah, mate, not a chance."
Long drive.
Let's jump in the car. You know, it's just one of those ones where we're probably going to fall asleep in the car. And I go, "All right, we live in one of the most beautiful parts in the world. I'm going to go, I'll just go somewhere, different direction.
Why not?
Head to Anglesey and Aries. A lot. It's a safe road. Never felt unsafe in the middle of the night or whatever. But I always drive past, and I've stopped in, I think, 3 or 4 times at different times to the Great Ocean Road Chocolatery and Ice Creamery.
Ooh, I've still never been.
And it's
on my list.
It stands out there. Like, I've gone with family. I've gone with mates. You can get different types of chocolate, ice cream. There's a cafe. There's a garden. It's really cool.
And they're open at 4 a.m.
No, they're not. This is my issue. I was thinking about a place like a Chocolatery. Is that how you say it? A chocolatery? A chocolate shop?
Yes.
Yes.
that's their preferred term.
It's a great system because people obviously love chocolate. Mm-hmm. So they're like, "Hey, we make our own chocolate. Come and see us making it. You can have all these different kinds. It's a bit of an experience."
Yeah. Put your head under this belt. It'll just fall into your mouth.
I don't know if they specifically offer that.
They should. I'd pay extra.
But I've been thinking, I was like, what other avenues? Because ice cream and chocolate really dominate that space.
Yeah.
It's like, come in, see it being prepared, experience it, have a good time on your way. And there's one that's coming. I could be missing something that's really obvious that doesn't currently exist.
Bakery? Every bakery that exists?
No. I'm not, I'm saying something that doesn't, I want the model of a chocolatery, but for something that currently doesn't have that.
The word's starting to sound like it's not really a word.
No! Chocolatery? What? It's a great model.
Yes.
What else can we add to that model where it's, "Hey, come here"? Because, I'm not talking about things that already exist. Is there a thing called a chippery?
Ooh, where you go and watch them cut the chips.
Full, let me see the potato.
Yeah.
I'm talking hot. I'm talking crisp. Just different.
Isn't that just a fish and chip shop?
No. I'm talking, a chocolatier is you see them making the chocolate. It's an experience. I'm not just talking about walking into Cadbury World. Listen to me!
You need to calm down.
You're not listening today. And that says a lot that has got to me today of all days.
What I'm saying is,
it's not just a fish and chippery.
No, but you could walk into a fish and chippery and you can see a bloke out the back carving the potatoes.
I don't care about Marvin carving the potatoes. What I'm saying is, I want to walk in and I want there to be a plethora of 70 different chip flavors, like,
sure,
like crisps. Like, yeah. I know in Australia we call chips chips and we call chips chips. It's chipping me off, I tell you right now. This is why I said, you've derailed the show.
I've done nothing. I brought you facts.
So do you see
that? Yes, yes, yes.
Now you're listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that would be a cool thing? It's like, yeah, instead of just like your salt and vinegars, your chickens, your whatevers, it's like proper cooked flavors that you can only get there, and they'll only make it because they make so much money just on the standard chip.
In Japan, they have one for noodles. There's like a noodle factory.
I'm happy for Japan. No. I'm talking about here. I'm talking about here. I'm saying, don't you think? Don't you
think?
I'm
just saying the model works for other things. This is what you asked me. You asked me for things that were in the
I wanted you to say, I think that, I wanted to know if you think that a chippery,
yeah,
for, again, chips and chips could exist. And do you think it would be a success? Because noodles are different.
Yeah.
Than chips. Now, I don't know.
But they have multiple different flavors, and you can make your own. That was the fun of the factory. Reset the show. Reset it.
No. I'm turning around.
He's turned around. You're sulking now.
All right. Just, I'm going to reset. I'm going to reset because you're not listening. So it's like a chocolatiery, but for chips. Don't you think that would be cool? And like you go in there and then you take samples of chips. At the end, there's like a cafe, hot chips. You'd have to run a potato farm.
Yeah.
I'm going to be straight with you.
No, it sounds like an incredible idea.
Yeah, I don't buy it. You're not you're not listening again.
I'm telling you what you want to hear and you don't want to hear it anymore.
Careful. Okay. You're going to lose the microphone privileges. This is what happens when I sit on this side of the desk. Do you want to keep your microphone?
I don't want to play this game anymore.
I forgot what we'd... But yeah, let's make a chippery. Tim and Jess. Just Tim by the sounds of it. That's how it feels. K-Rock. Bloody hell.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
Get down on it. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.